Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. This podcast takes you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. This week is an insurance special, and I am joined by Dan from First Point Insurance.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you so much for coming and being on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Podcast is a bit of a rare thing at the moment with everything else I've got going on in my life, so you're very VIP to be getting an episode in before the new year.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a lull, hasn't there, on the podcast?
There has been a lull. I continue to apologise to everyone, but it's going to take on a whole new life next year during Drive the World. Today, we are in Mayfair Prestige, which is one of the sort of coolest, almost secretive dealerships in central London. And kind of summarises quite perfectly the type of cars that you guys tend to insure.
Yeah, it's pretty much what we see day to day, really, these sorts of cars.
Which is brand new G-Wagons, DB11s, F12s, a left-hand drive Speciale, which is a steal. You can check out Mayfair Prestige. I'll put links to all of their pages and social media below. But let's kick things off, because you guys, I think, have insured maybe four of my cars now.
I'm trying to remember,
we've definitely been working together for a couple of years.
Yep.
For anyone who hasn't heard of you, who hasn't used you before, give us a top line intro. Who are First Point? What do you do?
So we're a specialist, bespoke, independent insurance broker based in Northampton. We've been trading for 20 years, celebrated our 20th anniversary this year, which is pretty cool.
I actually didn't know that, so congrats.
Okay.
That's mega.
Yeah. We had a decent party at St Martin's Lane in London, so yeah, it's pretty good. Started 20 years ago with 2 to 3 people, and we're now about 50 people strong in the office. So, not a call centre.
No, but
big
I came
on service.
I came up to see you guys not so long ago, and it's a pretty impressive setup. Firstly, you're spread across quite a lot of different spaces, different buildings. Tons of people working on all different sides of the business.
Yep.
And we'll get onto it more in a little bit. But you've been helping me out with all different elements of Drive the World. But of course, the car stuff. Anyway, we're going to get started in 2 seconds, but that's our introduction. That's Dan, that's First Point, and welcome to the Behind the Glass Insurance Special.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So I think the McLaren was probably the first car.
Yes.
Was it the McLaren? I came to you guys because that was also my first ever like supercar.
Yeah.
And at the time I was 26, 27, and I had no idea where to go to get insurance because using any online comparison website either said, we cannot insure you, or the prices were ludicrous.
Yeah.
And someone recommended you guys. It might have been Paul Wallace, actually.
I think it was
Paul Wallace recommended you guys and said you're kind of like the masters of being able to sort insurance for these like super prestige cars for people who maybe aren't the traditional customers, which was my sort of situation.
You don't really fit into the bracket with your occupation with, say, somebody that works in an office. You know, it's a little bit out there. It's not hard for us to do that.
I was blown away that you were firstly able to get me insured, but I think at that point, I think it was $2,500 for the year for the McLaren, which I thought was incredibly good because my F-Type was about £1,700, so I couldn't quite believe it. But since then, you've been fantastic. I basically have all you guys on WhatsApp, and given my business, given the nature of my business, the amount of times I change cars, it's been really helpful to continue using you guys to be able to swap cars in and out and have that kind of almost personalised touch, because... Yep. You did mention it a moment ago. You're not set up like a call centre. It's a lot more sort of hands-on client management. Is that correct?
Yeah, like a personal approach to it. So people know they've got a direct number to myself or anyone else in the company. If they've got an issue or need anything sorting out, you just give us a call or drop us an email and it'll be dealt with. There's no call lists or call queues, press one for this, two for that. It's not what we're about. We're never going to be like that. So yeah, like you say, it's that personal approach and the service, the value that we add basically to insurance.
So therefore, how many of your customers are repeat customers buying new cars, and how do you win in new customers if it's such a personalised touch?
So I mean, our retention rate for customers renewing is one of the highest in the business. I'm quite proud of that, really. So we have people that will insure with us for, you know, 5, 6, 10 plus years, and they'll buy another car, buy a second, third, fourth car. We'll add that onto the same policy, and just build out a portfolio and look at things like home insurance, or, you know, much like we've done for yourself, medical cover, life, things like that as well, especially with your trip that's coming up.
For
it's something that needs a little bit different when you're traveling around. You know, the NHS isn't really going to cut it.
No, I don't think so when I'm in Guatemala.
It's just about having that understanding of what a client needs and the right cover as well. So yeah, it's
And you tend to focus at least on the sort of the prestige cars. In terms of the sort of market, you're obviously a broker. What are the options? Like, how sort of competitive is the UK market space for prestige cars? Give us an overview of
So I mean, we can do anything. We can insure anything from, you know, 10 grand motor up to X million.
Okay.
You know, there's no limit what we can do. What I would say is our market is normally sort of 40 grand and above. That's what we tend to do. And in
why is that? Is that through choice, or that's because
that's just where we're the most competitive on on not just premium, because it's not isn't always about premium, but about the cover for that sort of car. You know, cars under that sort of value, unless it's a specialist vehicle, the market's a little bit more fierce for that sort of insurance. So we stick to what we know and what we're good at. That's not to say if you've got a 70 grand C63 and you're buying yourself at a 20 grand Range Rover Evoque, yes, we'll do that.
Sure, yeah, you know, we will.
We still do that. Yeah. We're not going to say no. We never say no.
Fine, but it may be that some of those huge conglomerates are able to more offer some more competitive. That totally makes sense. And so are there, because, for example, my actual insurance for the Ferrari is with ERS.
Equity Red Star,
So I had never heard of them before, because my only knowledge of it was like Admiral and, you know, and Elephant and stuff like that. Oh, God, sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned those. So how many of there are there, those sort of like smaller, bespoke? And also, how do you recommend them? Because for me, with the McLaren, I was a bit nervous to begin with, because I hadn't heard of this company. I was like, are they actually going to look after me? So how many independents do you work with, and what are the benefits?
So someone like Equity Red Star, they're actually one of the longest standing insurers in the UK. But they have, as you can imagine, many different schemes and different products. People like that. We've probably got around 10 different insurers that we can use, and we've got specialist schemes within that as well. So we've got flexibility depending on the size of our account and relationship we've got. There's options to do lots of different things. It comes down to the client's profile as to where they're going to be suited within that. It's not just a case we'll get a risk in from a client and would go to everybody on the market, because they might not fit everybody.
Interesting.
So it's understanding what the client's profile is, what their needs are, obviously what the vehicle is, what they're going to use it for, and then we go from there.
And so, again, from personal experience, my dad had 3 Range Rover Sports nicked from outside his house in Belgravia, which is not an area you expect to have Range Rovers nicked, but we soon discovered it's a problem with Range Rovers across the board. And he had an insurance nightmare, because I think at that point he just sort of used, I don't even know who he uses for insurance. The first time he didn't take out a gap policy, which is something I want to talk about in a second, but just had one of those, you know, one of those horror stories that you read about. And so from your side, especially with the more high-end stuff, what are you recommending? Because I suppose the small print or what services are offered are sometimes much more important than the actual price, which is what I would always be concerned about. I would always look for the cheapest deal, essentially.
Yeah, so we pride ourselves on giving, you know, better service than some companies on the internet say that would give, you know, more price-focused insurance. Those sorts of companies online, it's very tricky, because they're doing things on mass numbers. They tend to underwrite the point of a claim. So they might charge you X amount now, and then you have a claim. They look back on the information you've put in online, And if there's something that's not quite right, or you've missed off a speeding ticket or whatever you've had, you're going to get yourself into a bit of bother.
Okay.
Whereas when you come to a broker like ourselves, they're only right on the point of inception. So when they're quoting, they're looking at the risk as a whole, sure, and then they're saying, right, okay, it's X premium. These are the benefits you're going to get. So you've got that peace of mind that, you know, someone like your dad, for instance, with the three claims, is he going to be one for ourselves? Probably not.
No, because he's not one for anyone at that point, unfortunately.
The Range Rover theft thing is still a concern. With some other brands as well, with the keyless entry, that's still a concern, wow, especially in London.
Wow.
There are still Range Rovers going missing now, with the, you know, Cat 5 trackers on and things. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
It's a very, when people say Range Rover,
you
first
get
when we say security.
Okay.
Where are you going to keep it?
Sure.
What's the tracker situation?
Get the steering wheel lock immediately.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it, something as simple as that is going to, you know, if you're walking down the street and you think, well, I can take that car very easy, if you've got a steering lock on it, it's something else they've got to remove. So it's a bit old school, but...
No, but it's a deterrent, right?
It is, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they're just trying to be as quick as they can, and that's what he ended up having to do, was get steering wheel locks, which he hates.
So did he get a fourth Range Rover?
He got a fourth. After the second one, I think his insurer were literally like, okay, this is weird now.
Yeah,
and there was a bit of an investigation, and he was... he's not the kind of guy to deal with these situations. But it was a nightmare. I mean, that is a real issue, which I think still gets quite well handled by the Land Rover, Range Rover PR team.
Yeah.
Because it's, in London especially, a real issue with these Range Rovers going missing.
Mm.
But you touched on something really interesting there, which made me think. You mentioned sort of these policies that kind of look at things from day one, taking all the possible risks, all the things. Let's talk about modifications. Because especially with what I do, but it's becoming more and more popular now to wrap cars, to put wheels on cars, exhausts on cars.
PPF.
Okay, so how does that potentially affect a policy? Do you need to let your insurer know? Does it increase costs, etc.?
So, with ourselves being a broker, we always say, be up front with everything. So, if you're thinking of putting a Miltec exhaust on it or whatever, or changing the colour of a wrap, or PPF, anything like that at all, just be up front and let the broker know.
Okay.
9 times out of 10, it's not going to change the premium.
Really?
You just need to know. If you start, changing turbo.
Yeah, I've increased to 3,000 horsepower.
There's going to be slight loadings for that. But, we deal with a lot of dealerships that sell vehicles that are refined and so forth from the factory. That's not an issue.
Interesting.
The clients that are buying these sorts of vehicles, they're not doing burnouts in McDonald's car park. It's completely different clientele. But certainly things like PPF, I mean, we always ask that when we're quoting because, that's can be quite expensive to install, depending on what panels you get done. So we always ask that. And the companies we use, they've got an understanding. There's going to be no additional premium for that because, you're taking steps to protect the car.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. Things like exhaust and things like that. And wheels, it's not going to change any premium, really.
I think that's super interesting because I think that is definitely a common misunderstanding or myth, sort of like, trying to hide modifications because you're worried that it's going to affect your premium. But again, as something else you pointed, which I actually hadn't considered until you mentioned it when we were looking at the Carrera T, is that, yes, should there be any kind of situation, accident, where the modification gets damaged, not only whether, if you're going through a traditional broker, they might go, or not broker, provider, they might freak out.
Yep.
But they're definitely not going to cover the cost
Correct,
of that
yeah.
modification, which is, I was always worried about, firstly, an increased premium, but also, what if they void my insurance?
Yeah. Well, if you get hit by somebody and you've had the car PPF'd or wrapped, obviously the damage would be repaired, but then you've then got to get the car re-PPF'd or wrapped.
Which could be another $4,000 or $5,000, depending
Correct,
on where you're going.
Yeah.
So, that's definitely something which I hadn't considered, which was a very interesting...
Just touching on that as well, things like when you order a brand new car and you've got optional extras on there, some of the more standard direct-to-market insurers on the internet will say you need to disclose what options you've got.
Really?
Because it's an additional cost on the car. With ourselves, we will say to you, how much you're paying for the car, including all your spec,
Sure.
Have you had PPF? Yes. We just lump that in. It's just about being transparent with, A, what the car is, what you're thinking of doing it, and how you're going to use it, really. And then we can just work for you and just get you the best value policy, really. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, it feels like a good time when we're talking about clarity of use to talk about next year, Drive the World. Very excited, very happy to announce that you guys are one of the main partner sponsors for next year, which is brilliant, and it's helped me with endless sort of concerns I had. As you mentioned, we touched on medical insurance and business insurance and obviously car insurance, which you guys are handling for Europe. And that was one of the sort of big areas where we had to be, and I wanted to be as upfront as possible with the actual insurance provider as to how I was going to be using this car, why, where, etc. Because if we blurred any of those details, we could have been in trouble. Because to me, it seemed remarkably easy to get that policy in place. But when I came to you, was this something that was a little bit out the usual? Like, you know?
Yeah, I think my colleague Blaine dealt with a lot of that. So it's a case of, you know, understanding, like you say, what country you're going to be going to, and what is possible for us to attain in terms of coverage. We mentioned Equity RedStar as the insurer for yourself. We're quite lucky that our relationship with them is very good. So, you know, there's just conversations had sort of behind the scenes to get certain things agreed that aren't as standard on a policy.
Sure, that makes sense,
At the end of the day, they will give European cover, but exclude certain countries. But I think for yourself, we've basically covered...
We've covered everything, and the great thing is the length of time. Because I think, again, online providers or generic providers, you often
30
get...
30 days.
30 days tends to be it. Obviously, I'm going to be around here for longer than 30 days. So it was really important to be, upfront and honest about everything that was going to be happening there. And so let's come on to some of these sort of other myths and misconceptions, I think. One of the big things that I talked about with my dad was GAP.
Yeah.
And that was something that, again, when I was buying the Carrera T, I was kind of contemplating because I suddenly thought, you know, should something happen, I've put a lot of money into this and I've got finance payments. But Blaine was explaining that at least on some of the providers, GAP isn't always necessary.
Yeah, so a lot of the, or most of the direct-to-market insurance companies on the internet and so forth, they will give you just market value for a car. And really, that's when you do need gap cover for those sorts of scenarios, especially if the car is financed, which is most of the UK.
Yeah, 95% of used car sales.
Exactly. With brokers like ourselves, with the policies that we offer, most of the policies offer what we call an agreed value. So your car is X value for the year. If something should happen to the car and it be written off, you're going to get the same value. Okay.
Fine.
We also offer policies that will do what we call extended replacement costs. So say, for instance, your car's worth 100 grand. You've got an additional 50% on top of that. So if it appreciates in value, you know, you've got that extra 50 grand there just to, as a little bit of a buffer, just in case something should happen.
Okay.
You need to replace the car.
Nice.
You're not going to be falling short.
So sure.
It's actually even better than GAP. But again, it's just having the right policy for those sorts of cars, really.
Okay. How much does your job affect your premium? Because when you Google online, you do get, like, you know, the best way to get the cheapest insurance, which, as we discussed, isn't really what you should be going for. But lots of people are like, oh, well, tell them you live down an alleyway. Now, you know, so what are those sort of things, and how much do they actually sort of, you know?
Yeah, affect? So I suppose occupation does have an impact. From our point of view, not a massive impact.
Okay.
There is, don't get me wrong, there's certain occupations that are, you know, more tricky to insure. Professional gamblers, that's
interesting.
An interesting one.
Okay.
Casino owners, people like that.
Wow.
There is still occupations that are a little bit tricky to do, but we can do them. But that's the same with any broker, really. There's no different. You mentioned about if you live down an alleyway and stuff like that, you know, that just sort of comes on to things like client profile. So if you're going to be buying a Range Rover, let's say, in London, where are you going to keep it? Is it going to be kept in an underground car park, or is it going to be left on the street? If you're buying an Aventador, are you going to leave it on the street in Knightsbridge, or are you going to be garaging it? Those are massive factors in terms of premium and whether insurance companies are comfortable with providing the right policy. And
sure.
It's just about, you know, the client kind of taking care of what they've got, really. You know what I mean? It's one of those scenarios. But occupation, there's a few occupations which are tricky, but majority of them, there's not a massive difference.
I have a funny, another family anecdote about insurance. My mum's side this time, she was insuring her Evoque in London and called up, I think weirdly she was switching from a Mercedes, so she spoke to Mercedes Insurance, and they gave her some ludicrous premium of £4,000 or £5,000. And she said, why is it so high? And she said, oh, because of the area you live in. She's like, well, that seems a bit harsh. Like, what are you saying about the area? He goes, well, because the buildings are so expensive, if you crash into one of the buildings, it's going to cost a lot to... We're both like, how does that make sense?
Yeah, so, I think that's more of a standard market response there.
I think that was definitely very much,
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's take a little tiny break from the hardcore insurance chat. Cars in general. Are you a car guy?
Yes. Massive car fan.
Big into your car.
Yes.
Do you get excited when someone calls you up and says, hello, I'm here to insure my Chiron? You're like, what's the spec?
Yeah. I mean, currently for me, the Performante.
Really? That's the one?
That's the one at the minute, yeah.
Are you you're a Lambo guy through?
Not through and through.
Okay.
458 Speciale, I think, you know, if I was to win big. That's what I'd get.
There's a beautiful...
There is one.
As we mentioned, we're in Mayfair Prestige, and bang opposite us is a left-hand drive Rosso Speciale with the Nart stripe, the white and blue stripe, and it's just...
It's good.
Yeah, I've always been that Ferrari man, as you know. And do you find within the office everyone is kind of...
Yeah, everybody's got their brand, their go-to brand.
Okay.
you know, it's... It was interesting this year. We went to the Supercar Driver Secret Meet.
Oh, yeah, nice. Of course, I saw you there. Yeah.
One of the main sponsors for that. Seeing a lot of our sort of clients' cars sort of in the flesh.
Sure.
Because you do speak about on the phone, you know, what colour have you gone for, what options and so forth. But actually seeing them there and, you know.
Gets exciting.
It does, yeah.
And speaking of that, you actually do insure an insane amount of sort of, or at least recognisable online people.
Like, we do.
It's ridiculous. We were talking about the other day, and anyone who sort of follows a lot of car accounts on Instagram, at least in the UK, or YouTube channels, you guys are kind of dominating that space.
There's a good network of you guys that are sort of all sort of interlinked on there. Yeah,
I think it's one of those things as well, especially in any circle, when you find a provider or broker or anyone who is good at what they do and sort of, you know, smashes it day in, day out, you want to recommend it.
Because, yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, it's the same with Magnitude Finance, who you guys know I work with a lot. They've always been so incredibly good at what they do that whenever someone's like, oh, I want to buy this car, but I'm getting crazy rates, I'm literally like, oh my God, you need to call Magnitude.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we get a lot of our business through recommendation, because if you're giving good, consistent service, then people will talk about it.
Okay. Yeah,
We don't do a great deal of advertising because we don't really need to at this stage. Most of it is recommendation, either from a dealership or through people like yourself, which is great.
Thank you very much, I guess. But I think it's because of the service you offer. What was your first car?
First car was a red 1 litre Vauxhall Quarter R Edge. I say red, it was basically pink.
Okay. It faded. Teacup
one side, and by the time you finished doing that and start the other side, that one was red again and then pink.
Did you crash it right enough?
It did have a small bump. Yeah.
It's part of the thing.
Just a park in for an end.
Oh, okay.
Dip in. It was all right.
You learn.
But that's, I need to touch some wood, but that's the only one I've had.
Okay,
look at
that.
In 13 years,
What are you in now?
I've got two cars. Golf GTD Mark 7.
Okay, nice.
Good car.
Yeah,
good
get car. On with it well.
Don't tend to drive for fun these days. Okay, just to and from the office.
The job.
GTD, good car, solid, good engine.
Mark, I lose it. We're at the Mark 7.5 now, right?
We are, yeah.
So
yeah.
Yours is effectively the same.
They don't
And then the other car is the wife's car.
That's another Golf as well.
Just a
GTD.
Got your Golf family.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I actually got rid of last year A4 black edition of Amp.
Okay.
Always been a fan of Audis as well. Had that a year. It was a good car, but a little bit too boaty.
Yeah.
On the 19-inch wheels, it was a bit. Yeah.
I've become a fan of the station wagon, yeah. But I've quickly realised it's the fast station wagons that I.
Because you came up in the Mercedes, didn't you? When you
the
saw
E63S
it.
Yeah, when I came to see it, when I came to see you guys,
that
which
was
that was huge. But yeah, driving around in Ivan the Volvo, but also experiencing a few. I did the XF Sport Brake Jag not so long ago.
Yeah.
And when they're not that quick, they do tend to be a tiny bit floaty. So I think you're in better shape in the Golfs.
Yeah.
Any if you were to change up, if you were to,
I quite like the Golf R's.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I'd actually prefer an RS3.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's just the price point, really, and the fact that I don't drive. I don't go out for a Sunday drive. I'm just too
to
busy
B.
with family
yeah,
to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
To and from work down the dual carriageway. Get a diesel.
It'd be a waste having
for now.
Yeah. Watch this space.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just having a quick look at some of the other things that we were hoping to talk about today. I wanted to know whether you have any sort of top tips. I mean, we've covered off some of the sort of myths, but do you have any sort of recommendations of you should do this? I mean, for example, Range Rovers. Make sure it's garage. Anything else?
I think, I mean, as long as you are upfront with a broker, with what you're looking to do, what you're looking to insure, where you're going to keep the car. That's a big factor.
So investing potentially in secure parking
actually
might help you not only with lowering your premium,
but actually getting it insured properly.
Okay.
And also, I guess, is much like yourself, building up an experience. So, you know, you wouldn't go from driving the car you're in now, the Volvo, to the McLaren.
Yeah. Hey, I might if I won the lottery, but it's not going to go well, though.
Much like on the finance side of things, you have a stepping stone of vehicle and finance packages. You will start off in something a little bit smaller, like an F-Type. Lovely car. And then build it up slightly, but surely.
The provider will like that as well.
The insurance company wants to see a clear history of driving experience. That is massive in obtaining the right rate at the right premium, the right coverage. They want to see that you've got experience. If you're a EuroMillions millionaire and you're driving a Volvo and you want to go and buy a Veyron, they're going to be like, come on now. Get something a bit smaller first and work up to it. Much like when the 458s first came out, a lot of people were driving around in 360s and then they were just going straight to the 458.
It's a big leap.
The claim stats on the 458s for everybody were a little bit skewed with because of what the car could do and how advanced it was when it came out. They'd like to see a clear history of ownership.
Okay.
Something like a 50 grand R8, work up to something a little bit more tasty, maybe like a Gallardo for 100 grand, and then go up to maybe the Huracan at 200 grand.
Stepping stones.
You don't go from a two-bed house to a six-bed mansion.
You've got
to work up.
And sometimes you read about, you see at least in the press, Andy Murray insured at 18 for 400 grand. With people like me, YouTubers and Bitcoin and tech companies, a lot of people are making money quickly.
And younger. Yeah.
So, firstly, without naming names, what are sort of some of the you must have seen some ludicrous figures float through at some point. But also, is that quite a fun challenge for you guys, or is that actually making life harder?
Yeah, I mean, those sort of scenarios are, you don't get them every week or every month. You do come across somebody that has made it big, under 25, let's say. We have done large premiums for large cars, Conan's Eggs and Enzo's and things like that for people under 25, which, again, they quite often they've been in a sort of a family circle where they might have driven on the track or driven on the road. Is that rain?
Literally, that is rain. I have no idea if the microphone's picking it up. And it's been a pretty grim day today.
Yeah.
And Mayfair Prestige have a sort of, what do you call that, an atrium? No, what is that? Glass?
Like a...
greenhouse. Yeah. Basically a glass
room. A light well.
Yes, a light well, which lights the showroom beautifully, but it's... making the rain rather pronounced, but anyway,
so they might have had
25 for the Koenigseggs and Enzos. Yeah. Damn it, what are we doing with our lives?
Yeah, I mean, premiums on things like that are in excess of 100k, but then you're talking millions of pounds off a vehicle, so it's all relative.
I'm actually just going to use that because we did have some people on Twitter submit some questions for today, and one of them was, how do you go about insuring a Koenigsegg or a Pagani? Because for sure, I guess you're looking at the more specialist providers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for the hypercars, let's say, there are only a handful of companies out there in the UK that will actually underwrite them correctly.
Okay.
So what we always say to people, if they are going to buy one, then obviously, of course, check the insurance before you purchase a vehicle such as that. But you do need to have some form of relevant experience. I'm not saying an R8 is good enough for a Koenigsegg, but you know, build up a pattern. Have more than just the one car, you know what I mean? Insurance companies that we deal with want to see the package. So if you come to us with a £1 million vehicle, we'd expect to be looking at the package as a whole and potentially home insurance that's tied in. But yeah, we'd always say just use one broker that's been recommended, whether it's ourselves or somebody else. If you start going to 2, 3, 4, 5 different brokers, and each broker might interpret what we discuss on the phone differently, that then goes to the underwriters. The underwriters then start seeing the same information but slightly different from different sources.
Okay.
The war gets a bit muddy. You could basically damage what potential rates you could get. So I'd say, you know, just get recommendations from people and, you know, go with one or two brokers max.
That makes total sense. And underwriters, that's a part of sort of, they all seem like the doom and gloom guys. Like, how do they actually quantify risk? It's something that a guy called Ross Butler asked on Twitter. How do they quantify that risk? How do they decide that they're sort of...
So they'll look, like I said, they'll look at the experience as a massive thing for the sports cars. Area where you live, you know, you can get a lot of information on the internet very, very quickly now. Google Maps, Street View. Mm. If someone says they're going to be buying a 100 grand car, it's their first 100 grand vehicle, and their house is only worth 80 grand, clearly there's an issue. There's certain things that need to fall into place for it to be acceptable. You know, if that person is buying a 30 grand car and they live in a house that's 100 grand, it's probably a lot more respectable, and that's probably going to come to fruition. But they'll look at everything, you know, what the occupation is, their age, their license, what they've been driving, claims experience, you know, have they been claim free or not? You know, there's a couple of things they'll take into consideration, but it's about the profile. Our job as a broker is to be transparent with the underwriters, but we want transparency from the client as well, because at the end of the day, we are going to be working for them. So we need as much information as we can get to present the risk basically to the underwriters to get the best terms.
Amazing. Okay. Well, look, it's been incredibly insightful. Thank you once again for coming down and having a chat. If people want to get in touch, if people want quotes and to speak to them, obviously they can check out the website, but anything else they should know there?
No.
Just literally call up.
Yeah, call us up. Yeah, our number's on the website, firstpointinsurance.co.uk. Give us a shout on there.
Too cool. Well, you're on Instagram as well.
So we are on Instagram now.
I'm going to have to put that below.
Yes.
Instagram is building. And as I mentioned, awesomely, these guys are one of the partners for Drive the World next year. So you will be hearing more about them, seeing more of them during the year. But it's been great to have this chat now. And I think, as I say, insurance is one of those sort of tricky subjects where I say a lot of people just chase the cheapest rate. I mean,
yeah.
And I think it's important to talk about all the things that you should be considering, not just the premium.
Yeah, I mean, the premium side is about the value, and that's not about being cheap. It's about offering the best value and the best cover for your asset. if you're paying for something on finance, you want to make sure it's going to be repaired properly.
Absolutely. And another sort of benefit, again, for stuff that I'm doing next year, but also we've had in place for a few years now, is my policy actually allows me to drive other people's cars
as well.
So that's a really bonus thing, which was sort of included from day one when I came to you guys. It gives me that assurance that as I move around, people offer me to drive cars, I'm covered. I can have a good time. Unless it's a shit on, then I have to make some more phone calls to plane.
That kind of works both ways. So a lot of our policies will offer comprehensive driving of the cars, like we just said, for your friends' cars. So if you go to a car meet or with Supercar Driver, Tour of the Alps, let's say, and you want to jump in your mate's 458, you can do that. Likewise, they want to jump into your Huracan, you know that that's covered for them to jump in, for any driver of 30, let's say. So everybody's in a good place. You can have a bit of fun.
Exactly, without those awkward phone calls. I need to have someone for a day. Which is always an awkward moment before that really exciting time. So anyway, once again, thank you guys. I'll put all the information to First Point below if you're watching here on the YouTube channel. If you're listening to us, thank you so much for tuning in. You can make sure to follow for future episodes. As I say, Behind the Glass is coming back strong next year. During Drive the World, we're going to be doing weekly episodes with all the different characters that I meet along the way, as well as summarising the various countries and sort of legs of the journey. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on your audio platform, and I guess I'll catch up with you very, very soon. Thanks very much.
Cool. Cheers. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.